Indeed, I'm very thankful to be here this morning. I've been looking forward to it since we got in here in Georgia. To be in Macedonia, I've been to the other church a couple, three times over the last few years. I'm certainly pleased at the building you have here. It's a beautiful building. But the beauty of it all is the church of the living God, and that's in the heart. When I see God's people come together in one mind and one accord and one spirit, I'm pleased. It does me good to see a good portion of God's people come out. I know that our lives sometimes consist of things around us, and we get tied up with some things and can't get to the church. But I learned a long time ago that the first thing in life should be to serve God and honor Him. I find out in the world so much of the time that there's a lot of discontent, a lot of people that's not satisfied. But I want to thank you for being allowed me to come here first tell you and ask you to pray for me. You know, the scripture tells us to pray for one another.
Yes.
I desire an interest in your prayers, and I tell people everywhere I go that if there's not any praying, there won't be a whole lot of preaching.
That's right.
So I need your prayers this morning. And as Brother Will said, I prefer to stay on the floor. I'd rather be up there. But due to my health, I cannot climb stairs. So I'm coming back where I originated from, on the floor. But I have found that if the Lord's going to bless, He can bless down here as good as He can. It's up to the Lord. And I come each time before the Lord's children, trusting in one that's able to deliver me, able to give me what I stand in need of. Because many times I come before the Lord's children and I have no inkling of what I'm going to say. But in that same self hour, a lot of times it's been given to me a message. And I hope that I am a messenger from God to bring the good news to His people. As He told Peter, He said, feed my sheep. We can't make sheep, but we can feed the sheep that God taught. So I desire an interest in your prayers this morning. And as I thought about it the last couple of days, it's been on my mind about the people out here in the world, they're not content. And I know in this present day and time, the way the economy is, people are losing their homes, their jobs, even marriages have separated and these things. And that causes discontentment among the Lord's children. Well, this is nothing new. Even in the days when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they murmured. They was discontent. They murmured to God, and God heard their cries. Sent Moses into Egypt to bring them out. And well, you thought now that would make them happy. It didn't. He took them out and went there into the wilderness, you know, and they weren't happy. They weren't happy for 40 years in the wilderness. And that just tells me that you can't satisfy the natural man. There's no way of satisfying the natural man, because what he has, he wants more. And I know this from experience growing up, being married and having a family, I wanted more and more and more. I needed more money for this. I needed more for that. And I'm not content with it. Even when I was in the world and searching around the world for what I thought was the truth, everywhere I went, I found something that didn't satisfy me. I kept looking and looking and looking, and finally I came to the old Baptist church, and I want to tell you, children of God, this morning that I am content with what I found in the old Baptist church.
Amen.
I've been in the old Baptist for over 40 years. I don't want to change a thing about it. I don't want to add a thing to it. Because our Lord and Savior set the church up perfect to start with.
Amen.
It don't need anything. It don't need nothing taken out of it. But people, when they get discontent, they're not happy. with what they have. They want to add to it. You know, and that's why we have the different religious orders we have today. People are discontent with what they have. Well, brother, I want to tell you, I'm happy with what the old Baptists have. I've always been happy with it since the first day I came into the church. I tell you why I'm happy with it, or I'm content with it, because I find that salvation is of the Lord, and it's not of man. The Bible said it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So I'm content with that. I know, as Paul says, within myself, I can do nothing. And I've come to that conclusion over the years that I can't do nothing as far as spiritual redemption or the things that would give me eternal life. But I have to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm content with what he done on the cross. I'm glad, and I've said this to people, I said, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, took our sins and bore them there. And they said, oh, are you glad of that? I said, I certainly am, because I know couldn't redeem me, and he couldn't take away my sins, but the Lord Jesus Christ can. He's the only one that can, because he was a perfect sacrifice, and he didn't sacrifice himself to us, but he sacrificed himself to the Father. And the Father was pleased with his sacrifice, therefore he redeemed us. And brother, I want to tell you something, you can't redeem something that you didn't have prior ownership of. So we know that the Lord has our salvation before the world begins. We were his in a covenant of grace before the morning of time. But in due time, the Bible says that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for his people. Well, who are his people? Everyone that's been born of the Spirit of God. And there are people out here that have been born of the Spirit of God and don't see what you and I see. Paul said in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, when he tells him, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. He says, for I bear them record to have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Brethren, aren't you glad this morning that God has opened your eyes and your ears to see the knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus? And the Bible said, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. I'm free this morning. Now, what am I free from? I'm free, and I'm not free of sin. Because this body of flesh, the Bible tells me that it's conceived in sin, born in sin, and it's going to die in sin. So this fleshly body we live in is going to be always having sin. But I'm free from the bondage of sin. When Christ made me free, I'm free indeed. From the sin, the bondage of sin. And, you know, we still going to sin no matter what. If we fake sin, we're sinners. Paul said, of whom he the chiefest was. I tell them a lot of times, Paul has to move over. I'm running a close second to him. Because of the mind that I have. You know, one moment your mind will be on something good, the next minute it'll be on something bad. Aren't you glad that we have a forgiving God? One that loves us and cares for us, redeemed us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his grace and mercy, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Brother, I tell you, we should be a happy people.
Yes.
We ought to be content with what we have. Paul said, or in the Hebrew letter, 12th chapter, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be happy with the state that you're in. You know, I've heard people talk about this, and I mentioned that earlier to start with, about people wanting more money. You know, I know some people, that's all that's on their mind is getting more money, doing this and doing that. They're just not satisfied with what they have. Benjamin Franklin once said that content will make a poor man rich, and discontentment will make a rich man poor. Think about that. We're rich because if we're content in what the Lord's done for us, we're content. You know, David said, blessed is the man whose mind is kept upon the Lord. You know, that's the hardest thing in the world to do, isn't it? Get up in the morning and the Lord be on your mind, good through your daily jobs and the Lord's on your mind, and come lunchtime, is your work on your mind? Brother, I tell you, I try as hard as I can to keep the Lord number one in my life, but sometimes he gets rid of this place. I put it that way. It gets down, and other things come around. But brother, I'm still content with what the Lord has done for me on the cross of Calvary. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be here this morning. I'd be out looking for something different. But I thank God that he gave me the grace and the mercy and the knowledge and the wisdom that I might come and to his house of worship, that I might lift my voice in praise and honor and glory and give him all the praise, honor, and glory. Yes. Brother, I take no glory for what I am. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's the only way that I can stand before you, is that if God called me as a minister here in this life that I'm to feed the sheep of God, I can only feed him if he gives me the spirit, the wisdom, and the knowledge that I might learn. I might read and study as Paul told Timothy, read and study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Brother, I'm not ashamed to stand before you this morning and declare unto you that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who died on the cross for you and redeemed you in one glorious day, child of God, is going to take you home and be with him in glory, and there we're going to spend eternity worshiping our Savior in the spirit and in the body that he brings out of the grave and fashioned to his glorious image. Brother, it's not going to be an old body of flesh, but it's going to be a spiritual body, and we're going to one day be with him in that realm of glory. We're going to sing the highest praise of that could be sung anywhere in this world and the world to come. But brother, I tell them, wherever I go, you don't have to wait till that day comes. You can start today, children of God, praising your Father and your Savior as you walk here in this life. And I tell you, we need to be content. A content man is a happy man. I tell you, joy sometimes fills my heart till the tears of joy come rolling out of my eyes because of my Savior's love. I love my Lord. Why? Because he first loved me. He came to me as they said in the waste house in the wilderness. He came to me in that old miry pit, and he lifted me up and he set my feet upon a solid rock, and he established my going. Brother, I tell you what a great God we have, what a merciful God we have, for that loved us even when we were unlovable. And Ephesians 2 tells us that we were dead in trespasses and in sin. Our brother had no hope in this world, but our Savior loved us. He came to love us when we couldn't help ourselves and give us eternal life. John 10 chapter tells us, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Brother, believe us of this. I do with all my heart. That's where I'm content. That salvation is of the Lord. Oh, in Matthew 1:21, it tells us that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Brother, I think, who is his people? Every hour of promise, every whose names are engraved in the palm of his hand or written in the Lamb's book of life, that's his people. They're more numerous than the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea, a number which no man can number. Brother, aren't you glad of that today? I hope that my name is engraved in his hand, and if it's engraved in his hand, there is nothing that can remove it out. Romans 8:9 tells us this. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. There's no power present, no power fast can separate us from the love of God. Aren't you glad of that today? He always walks with us. And that chapter 12 in the Hebrew letter, when he says, let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Brother, aren't you glad today that we're kept by the power of God? We're in his hands. Every day, if they should be a blessing to us, to be able to call upon the name of the Lord and know that he's there, he sticketh closer than a brother. He'll walk, he'll hold your arms up when the trials and tribulations of life come. And brother, you're going to have a trials and tribulations. He says you're in the world, but you're not part of this world. But he says in the world, you shall have tribulations. But he says, fear not, for I've passed through those things. I've overcome. overcome them, and you shall too, because I will be with you. Oh, what a sweet promise that is, that our Lord's going to be with us whenever we're lose our jobs or our families or whatever come down the pathways of life. We must endure to the end. We must suffer. He said, Paul said, we'll suffer persecution if we stand for the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Brother, I've been persecuted. I've been talked about and all of these things for standing for the truth. A man told me one time, he said, you better leave that stuff alone. Brother, I tell you what old Baptists believe. He said, they preach babies into hell. Brother, I'll tell you one thing. I haven't seen one gone yet from what they're preaching of the true gospel of the Son of God. When one preaches the gospel of the Son of God and gives God all the power, all the honor, and all the praise, brethren, it's in the Almighty's hand. Where would you hold your salvation today in some preacher's hand, if not mine? Because I'll be afraid you're dropping on the side of the road. But I want to tell you, children of God, it's in the hand of the Almighty, and it'll be there. It's secure because he said, I cannot deny myself. The Lord can't deny himself. If he wants to love you, he'll always love you. If he died for you on the cross and redeemed you, you're redeemed. You'll not be lost in this world. I tell you, a man told me one time, he said, well, you'd fall out of the grace of God. I believe that, but not eternally. You can fall out of the fellowship of the Lord right here. And I believe at times we all seem to fall out of that grace. From time to time, when we begin to put the worldly things before our God. When I know that it's hard to keep our mind and stay upon the Lord. We have a life to live here in this world. We have our jobs to do, our families to take care of. And I know that we can't always do what we want to do. We can't always want to serve the Lord in our heart. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes the flesh overrides our knowledge of the spirit and leads us down pathways. And brother, I found over the years that I've been among the old Baptists that when I began to let the fleshly desires of this body overrule the spiritual side, there is discontentment. There is dissatisfied. I'm not satisfied. Brother, I'm going to tell you, when I come to the church of the living God, when I walk through the doors of the church, I try to leave my troubles and trials outside. Because this is the place, child of God, where we can bow down and kneel down at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
That's the only way the Lord looks for those that worship Him in that spirit and in truth. You can't worship God in a half-truth. You can't come in and say, well, if it's up to me, I'll just accept the Lord today and I'll have eternal life. That's half-truth. We didn't accept the Lord. He accepted us. People don't realize that. And that's why there's so much discontentment out here in the world today. Men are trying to work out their own salvation. Eternal. Well, Brother Huggins, don't the Bible say work out your own salvation? Yes, it does. But let's look what kind of salvation it works out. He says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Brother, that's talking about a salvation here. I tell people this, if you will put an effort to worshiping God and serving God, as a lot of these sports figures put 110%, if you'll do that and serve God, you're going to receive 110%. I've always said you only get out of what you put in. We need to come forth to the praise and honor and the glory of God. We need to put one foot in front of another. We need to step out on the faith that God has given us. Oh, man told me one thing. All you got to do is have faith. Yes, to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But where does that faith come from? Man can't buy a fabric. You can't go to Lowe's and buy it. You can't go to Walmart and buy it. It's a gift of God, children of God. The only way you're going to have faith is that God gives it to you. He gives to every man a measure of faith. Oh, sometimes I look at my faith and I see how little it is. Because the Bible tells me if your faith is the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say there will be this mountain being removed into the sea, and it'll be there. So that tells you that our faith is not very big. But I'm glad that God has given me faith to come before the Lord's children to declare His name. As I told Brother Will yesterday, I believe it was this morning, that I felt the calling of the preaching of the gospel, I could not stand before God's people. My throat would get big as a back truck. Couldn't say a word. Couldn't do nothing. But God relieved me of that. God delivered me from that. And now He's given me a tongue of praise and honor and glory. And that's what I want to do. I want to share it with you what the Lord's done for me. And I want to tell you what the Lord has done for you. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God may perfectly, thoroughly furnish unto good works. That's what the reading of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel instruct God's people. That's why He told Peter, says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And He didn't just leave all the sheep out. He said, feed my little lambs. I've been in services where I've seen a child, 8 or 9 year old, tears of joy begin to roll. Don't tell me God's not working. Don't tell me that God can't touch the hearts of the little ones as good as He does the big ones. This morning my mind was on the young people here in the church, and that just thrills my heart to the end. To see the young people in the church. That's the next generation that's going to carry on this doctrine of salvation by grace and the belief in the old Baptist church and to keep it alive. It's been going alive for over 2,000 years and it's not going to stop, because the Lord said as long as time was that He'd have a witness here upon the earth. And we are His witnesses. We witness to the fact of what the Lord's done for us. These young people carry on, press on toward the prize of the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Be not discontent, child of God. I know that you're going to have troubles and trials here in the world. Things are going to upset you, going to beset you in these things. But you know, we need to focus upon the Lord. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets, and run the race that's set before us. And you young people are strong and can run this race. Some of us that's getting of age, we don't run as fast as we do. But I'll tell you one thing, I may be slow, but I'm steady. I want to be steady when it comes to the serving of the Lord. I want to go all that I can and be in services with God's people throughout this land, that I might proclaim His name from the highest mountain. And brothers, when you're in the church of the living God, you're in the highest mountain upon this earth. You're in the highest place. Why? Because the Lord's there. They said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. That means going up, child of God. It is the highest place upon the earth. It has the more authority than any other nation, any other king upon the earth. And that's our King Jesus. We have a king greater than any king, and that's Jesus. But you know, we need to be content. When you're content, you're happy. When all is going your way, you're happy. Let joy fill your heart. Be content with what you have. I'm not saying that you don't need a better automobile or a better home or a better job. But don't let it overrule you. Don't let it overtake you. Always keep in mind the prospect of serving the Lord first.
Amen.
He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added unto you. I didn't know what that scripture meant for many years until I began to serve the Lord in a preaching manner. And I began to see things come to pass that I would have never thought to come. And added to my life the blessings that I've received over the years. When I felt like I could go on no further, the Lord came and blessed me. Oh, what a blessing it is to bear the mighty hand of the Almighty God and to rest in His finished work. When Jesus died on the cross, those three words, and I love to speak them from time to time, when He declared it's finished, redemption was finished. He redeemed us, called us, sanctified us, justified us. And one glorious day, He's coming back to gather us home. And I'm looking forward to that day. I may not be alive, but if I'm here sleeping in the dust of the earth, I know that there's one that's able to bring me out. Fashion this old sinful body to his glorious image, and there be carried home on the wings of his love, ever to be with our Father in heaven, to sing praises around that throne. What a glorious time that'd be, what a glorious day that'd be. That's something to look forward to. We can be happy every time I think of that. I think of the joy that's coming on the glorious day. We sang an old song at home, what a day that'd be, when the Lord shall return. It is going to be a beautiful day. But I'll tell you, there's a beautiful day right here now.
Amen.
Whenever you can lift your voice and tune your heart to the love of God and open your ears and eyes to hear this glorious, wonderful news that comes from the far country. I'm not bringing you something new. We sang that song telling that old, old story. It may be old, but it's the new every time I hear it. I'll tell you. And when God looks upon his people and lays out his spirit upon us, we sing this old song, when peace like a river attendeth my way. I feel the peace of the Lord this morning. I feel the spirit of the Lord upon us here. And we can all be united in voice. I had a man come to the old Baptist church last meeting day at Sandy Creek. He was from another order. He looked around, he didn't see a piano over in the corner, an organ. And he just kept waiting for us to pass a collection plate. And then afterwards he says, why don't y'all pass a collection plate? I said, whatever the Lord lays upon your heart to give, so give. For the Lord lives a cheerful giver. If your heart is in the right place, if it's stayed upon the Lord, you give yourself. All contempt is present your body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable belief. You do that, the Lord will bless you. And I feel blessed this morning to be among the people that believe that are standing for the truth. And I encourage you, be content with what you have here in the church. For you have the greatest doctrine and practice this world has ever known. Don't stray from it if you do come back to it. Because this is the only place, child of God, that you can find the peace and the joy. Peace like I give you, the Lord said, not as the world giveth, but as I give it. I want the peace of the Lord, not of the world. I've been happy in the world at times, but it's only a fleeting thing. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But this peace, child of God, you go home this weekend. Think back on today, Wednesday or Thursday, and you can feel that calm, serenity, peace come over you. What more do you want in life, child of God? I want to be happy in the Lord. I want to serve the Lord, and I know that's what you want to do. May God be a light unto your feet and a pathway. He tells us to seek the old path, where it is the good way. It is a good way. It's the best way. It's the only way. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we follow him, we're going to find that joy and peace. And when we do, let us be content with it. May the Lord bless you. Our prayer.